most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, D. Zambi.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday!
Now, just so you guys know, we all go with ASAP Rocky.
Yeah, the Breakfast Club is currently experiencing the 12 days of ASAP.
What else did he say?
Oh, you forgot. You didn't even see yesterday. Yep.
We seen the flowers.
Monday he sent flowers.
The candle.
Tuesday he sent the candle.
Today he sent...
What is that?
This is some single malt scotch whiskey.
Yo, he smashed.
You think he smashed, you?
It's for all of us.
Well, he smashed one of us.
Damn. Whoa.
He smashed one of us. Because if he got us flowers and candles, flowers is the tester. Whoa. Candles is I've been there. Liquor, he smashed.
No, this is really sweet.
I don't know what ASAP is doing, but salute to ASAP Rocky. Drop on the clues bombs for ASAP Rocky. It's the 12 days of ASAP going on at the Breakfast Club. I don't know when these gifts are going to stop, but we appreciate it. And I'm definitely about to eat me some breakfast and drink me some of that damn scotch. I know that much.
All right.
Is that a stag on the scotch? What's the name of that brand?
Glenfiddich.
Let me Google this and see how much this costs a bottle.
It's aged 21 years.
Let me see it turning around.
I'm out here shouting him out, and he might have sent us something that's been aged for 3 days. Hold on.
What's it look like?
As soon as I log on. Just got here. Ain't even get my green tea yet. I'm not even a scotch drinker.
I'm not.
But I'm going to be a scotch drinker this morning, especially if that bottle over $100.
Wow, so that's how that matters.
Yeah, this guy's a thot over there.
Bird.
And?
Buy him myself, give him a little expensive something, and he gave you anything. All right, honey. Now, today we got a special guest joining us from Night of... actor.
He's definitely not a comedian.
Michael K. Williams.
You can't just say from Night of, though. Let's be clear. Omar from The Wire. That's probably his signature role.
But also Chalky from Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
And Freddie from Night of.
Yeah, Michael K. Williams been around, bruh. What's the name of that liquor? Glyphendale?
Glenfiddich.
Glenfiddich.
Glenfiddich
might be about something, huh?
What are they saying? How much is it?
Hold on, price
you
it.
Guys,
how big is that bottle? What size is that?
It's big. Pull.
What size is that, ye?
750 milliliters.
Price of 750.
Oh, my gosh.
This guy's
this
a
is
bird.
Terrible.
Milliliter
how much is
bottle.
It?
Hold on.
Oh, but he's terrible, but you want to know how much it is.
But how much is it?
My computer just started running slow. Okay, now.
I'm confused now.
Regular price, $39.99.
Oh, now y'all don't want it?
See?
Hey, but you know what, though? What? It is a malt whiskey.
I don't know the difference between a whiskey and
a... ASAP them used to drink 40s. So they probably just... Oh, they got a $55 bottle, too.
This guy is such
a
bird over here.
Well, this one is aged 21 years, so you should look up that one.
Well, it's the thought that counts. Thank you, ASAP Rocky. Appreciate you, brother.
All right.
What you going to send tomorrow?
That's the real test for you, right?
That's the real test. That's what happens when you spoil your hoe. When you spoil your hoe, now she used to get gifts now.
When
the gifts stop, I don't know.
All right, well.
But it is very nice. Thank you very much, and we appreciate it.
Word.
Front page news is coming up. What are we talking about, ye?
A hepatitis A outbreak. We'll tell you what that's linked to. Also, I told you, I'm a little concerned about this tropical storm. I'm supposed to go to Miami tomorrow, so we'll see what happens. I'll give you an update on that. And get ready for the holidays. What are the 25 hottest toys for the holidays?
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. Wake your ass up. And sorry, Beyonce, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Yeah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Stop interrupting my grinding. I love when Beyonce says that part. That's motivation in the morning.
Yes, well.
Okay, all right. Well, let's get in some front page news. This guy is so excited over there. All right, tropical storm. Now, they're talking about it's a big trouble for Florida over the weekend.
Yeah, tropical storm Hermine is going to be the first.
Her is mine?
Hermine.
Okay.
What's that, Spanish?
H-E-R-M-I-N-E.
Yes.
That's the first hurricane watch in 4 years for the west coast of Florida, and that is happening today. They're saying the tropical storm Hermine has strengthened and is continuing toward the state. They're saying in preparation for that storm, a lot of coastal residents have been evacuated. Schools and colleges are closed Thursday and Friday, and officials have opened shelters for evacuees. So they do expect it could become a weak hurricane as well. And that would be the first hurricane to hit Florida in 11 years.
Spanish hurricane. Run through Florida, destroy mad stores. But don't touch nothing that sells Michael Kors.
By the way, did you see that Solange is now the spokesperson for Michael Kors?
Solange Spanish? Solange ain't Spanish.
No, she's not Spanish.
Oh.
She just likes it.
Oh, good.
Michael Kors is a very well-established brand.
That's how you get
your... You're just talking about the bag.
That's how you get your... Yeah, the bag. That's how you get your Spanish and Dominican fan base up.
How was that?
Start rocking Michael Kors bags. Okay. You're like, ooh, nice bag.
This guy's stupid.
I hit my Dominican homegirl yesterday. I was like, why do y'all like Michael Kors so much? She was like, I don't like Michael Kors no more. I haven't liked Michael Kors since it's been in. Okay?
Okay.
All right, well, fine. What you into now? Not Michael Kors.
Tory Burch. All right, let's talk about hepatitis A.
It's Tory Burch.
I know her. Way. I follow her on Instagram.
Who, Tory Burch?
Tory Burch.
Hold on now. Who I'm talking about?
Hepatitis A?
Tory Burch used to be engaged to Lior Cohen.
I'm talking about Tory Burch. Tory Bricks, that's her name.
Oh, you're talking about... Okay.
There you go. I follow her on the gram.
Oh, my God.
Snoop the
Big tar. Difference
this
between
guy is
Tory
crazy.
Burch.
I got you.
This guy. Hepatitis A outbreak that has been linked to strawberries and smoothies. Now, this outbreak has been in Maryland, West Virginia, North Carolina, Oregon, and Wisconsin. They said it is linked to the Tropical Smoothie Cafe. That's a chain that has about 500 locations in 40 different states. These strawberries were imported by the company from Egypt. So right now...
So strawberry smoothies cause hepatitis A?
Well, the ones at Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Really?
Right now, yes.
Okay.
All I wanted was some protein, and now I got hepatitis A.
You got hepatitis. You got to let you got
that. Hey, salute to Star and the Bean, too. They just tweeted us and said that the 750-milliliter bottle, age 21 years of, what's that stuff called?
Glenfiddich.
$180. Drop on the Clues Bomb for ASAP Rocky.
That's pretty expensive.
Oh, now you want some.
That's right.
When it was $34, you didn't want it.
That's right.
Now, let's talk about the top 25 gifts for the holidays. Now.
Well, according to Walmart, okay, they said some of the top picks right now are the Num Noms Lip Gloss Truck, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mega Lair playset, a Disney Princess Carriage. There's a Little Live Pets Puppy for animal lovers, and a Sky Viper Streaming Drone, and a Razer PowerCore E100 Electric Scooter. So those scooters are still in.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of different things. You know, I don't know anything about any of these toys except for the lip gloss truck. Sounds like it'd be cute if you're into makeup, if your child is into makeup. And obviously, everybody loves Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
First of all, I need Christmas to fall back. All right, Christmas always does this, and it's been doing this the past few years.
What do they do?
It always wants to get ahead of all the other holidays. Christmas, we know you coming. We know you the big one. But let's enjoy Labor Day. Let's enjoy the iHeartRadio Music Festival weekend.
DJ Yemi's birthday.
Let's enjoy Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Let's enjoy Thanksgiving. And then we'll get to you Christmas, and
That's
then
right.
we're going to give New Year's its proper respect. Don't start this. Don't be putting up these Christmas lights in September. Don't start Christmas music on these radio stations. In September, Christmas, just fall back. We'll get to you, okay?
I'm not going to lie. After my birthday this weekend, I start bringing that tree up because there's no sense of having a tree up for only 2 weeks. That tree too heavy.
Speaking of your birthday,
it's too many decorations.
I seen you got a Ferrari yesterday. Now,
not Tiger's Ferrari.
We need to clarify. Is that the Tiger? Is that the Tiger Ferrari that was repoed?
No, it's not Tiger's Ferrari.
You went and bought Tiger's Ferrari that got repoed?
No, I did not.
Drop one of Clues Bombs, man.
Clarify.
That man will go out there and get a deal. Okay? He will go get him a deal. They repossessed Tiger's Ferrari, and you went and bought it?
The same day. Now you're driving.
This is different, bro. This is different.
You and Tiger have beef or something?
No, man. Tiger's in L.A., and I'm here in New York.
So some people
can't
they
get it shipped?
Yeah,
in one day that fast?
First of all, I'm not wishing you happy birthday. There's no need to wish a man who got a Ferrari for his birthday happy birthday. There's nothing that you got with everything you need, okay? There's no need for me to say happy birthday. You got a Ferrari.
Give Tiger back his car.
That's not Tiger's car, you idiots, but that's front page news. That's mine. I work hard for that car. Tell him why you're mad. 800-585-1055.
I'm mad that Envy bought Tiger's Ferrari that got repossessed.
If you're upset and you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you had a bad morning or bad night, whatever it may be. 800-585-1051.
Tiger going to send shooters at you, bro.
Stop it.
That's embarrassing.
Call us right now.
And he did it on behalf of Drake. Drake gave you the money for it, didn't you?
800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Hey, yo, good morning, yo. This is the Mad Rapper, son, for real. I'm mad, and I stay mad. I stay angry. I stay heated. I stay pissed off. Tell him why you mad. Breakfast Club, let's go.
I got, like, a public service announcement.
Uh-oh.
It's been happening, like, the past week and a half at my job. If you know we close, do not come in 15 minutes before we close and ask for some bullshit, like, super hard thing. But
they
know,
can't come in if you're still open.
Yeah, well, you work at, open. I did that the other day. You're open.
You must work at the Apple store.
No, I actually work at an instrument rental place. Like, I work at with, like, classical instruments.
Listen, if y'all open, y'all open, boo. Sorry.
No, I get it. I take care of my customers. I mean, I'm customer service oriented, but, like, come on.
So you good with you good with a flute, huh?
Now, guys, let me ask you a question. I'm still taking that 5-hour defensive driving course I told you guys I was taking a couple days ago. Now, this is the last question.
Yes.
The blank calls for the driver to make a mandatory stop and then proceed when safe. A, stop sign. B, yield sign. C, do not enter. Or D, all of the above.
Stop sign, you idiot.
All right, I'm just making sure.
I can't believe you hung up on a caller to ask us that dumbass question.
We were having a really great conversation talking, because I was going to say, I don't like when I go to a store and they're supposed to still be open for 10 more minutes and they don't let you in.
Hello, who's this?
My name's JoJo.
Hey, tell him why you mad.
Hey, JoJo.
I'm mad because I'm calling my baby daddy and he's not picking up the phone.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Maybe he's sleeping.
No, he's not sleeping because he was just on Snapchat.
Oh, well, he having sex with another girl.
Maybe
relax.
He was on Snapchat and fell asleep right after.
What's his name? Say his name. What's his name?
I don't want to say his name.
Well, you need to say his name and tell him to answer the damn phone.
Maybe he'll call you back in a few minutes.
Okay, hopefully.
All right, good luck,
mama. I doubt it.
That's when you start sending him crazy text messages and then he calls you back and you're like, oops.
Well, tell him why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you could call us at any time. And don't forget, next hour, Michael K. Williams from Night Of, from The Wire. He'll be joining us. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Tory Lanez with Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Donald Trump, he's trying to get in touch with black people?
Yes, Donald Trump is heading to Detroit now. Some people thought he was going to be giving his first speech before congregants at the Great Faith Ministries Church in Detroit. But it turns out that he's just going to show up because he wants to get the black experience. Now, according to the bishop, he said, just like any visitor, there'll be a fellowship at the service. He can talk to people one-on-one if he chooses to, but he's not going to actually give a speech or anything like that.
By the way, Donald Trump, you've been to the Source Awards before, sir. Yes, you need to be talking about that, okay? That's the black experience, all right? Not saying you're not going to get a black experience in the church, but that's just one part of the black experience. You need to talk about being at the Source Awards as well. And black people, don't fall for that. Okay, just like he went to Mexico to go talk to the president yesterday, don't fall for that. That man don't give a damn about you. This is O.J. Simpson all over again after he killed Nicole and nobody else wanted to accept his ass, so he start going to Popeyes and throwing on dashikis and showing up to black churches. All Donald Trump wants is your votes. Don't fall for that BS, okay?
Well, Bishop Wayne T. Jackson is saying that he's going to interview Donald Trump later that day without media or without the public present, but it is a church and the church is supposed to welcome
everybody.
Yeah.
What should
Donald
Trump
wear today?
He's allowed to go, but I'm not falling for it.
Should he wear dashiki today when he goes there?
No.
What's that
bishop name again?
Bishop Wayne T. Jackson.
Now, we watching you, Bishop Wayne T. Jackson. We don't want you to all of a sudden endorse Donald Trump and then pull up in the same Ferrari that Envy just bought from Tiger because Tiger got it repossessed.
I didn't buy it from Tiger.
We watching you. We are watching you, Bishop Wayne T. Jackson. Okay.
It's a similar color, but I didn't buy a Tiger's.
Envy bought Tiger's Ferrari that Tiger got repossessed earlier this week.
Similar colors, and no, I
did not.
Did
it come with Kylie?
No. But Kylie did buy Tiger a new car.
She bought him a Bentley.
Yeah, Bentley truck.
Yep.
Go ahead and take that. I'm going to get this.
All right, well, we got rumors coming up. What else are we talking about, Yee?
Well, Bailey Curran is still doing interviews, okay? That's the woman who got Chris Brown arrested.
Bitch is lying!
Damn.
So we have some of that for you. And also, a plea from Janelle Monáe. She just had a very unfortunate incident in her family, a death in her family, and she wants us all to pray.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. Rumors on the way. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor, rumor. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Janelle Monáe is praying for an end to gun violence. Her cousin, who was a mother of three, was killed in a Kansas drive-by shooting.
Damn.
Yes. She tweeted out, gun violence has struck home. My beautiful first cousin was murdered. She was a mother of three, loved by her community. Hashtag Natasha Hayes. Hashtag say her name. And she's been doing that say her name, say his name movement, which emphasizes you have to remember the victims of crimes instead of reducing them to a statistic.
Did they catch the guy who did it?
I'm not sure about that yet.
Well, if they haven't, turn him in. I'm sure people in Kansas know who did it.
It's an unidentified person as of now.
See, we got, and that, like, this, the one thing we got to eliminate in the hood is that whole stop snitching campaign.
Thing, absolutely.
Because all you're doing is recycling murderers. Like, if somebody kills somebody and you don't say something, you send them back in the hood to possibly kill again. Get them off the street.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? If you don't, they could kill you or somebody that you love next.
Well, as of this report, the police have not arrested any suspects. And she hashtag Kansas City, hashtag gun violence is still keeping our city in a dark place. The fear of who is next never leaves. Praying for more light, help us. And nobody deserves to lose their mother, sister, cousin, friend, etc. to the hands of evil. Evil has no race.
Tell on the person who did that. Why you want to share Chick-fil-A with somebody who done killed somebody for no damn reason?
You're right.
A mother of three.
Unless you're in that life and you're a drug dealer and a murderer too.
Absolutely.
If you're not, tell.
But if you're a regular civilian... Let it all go.
And absolutely. If you remember last year, Janelle Monáe put out that song, How You Talkin' About, which she was naming the victims of police violence and hate crime.
Hashtag snitch. Listen, by the way, Janelle Monáe is absolutely the most beautiful woman in the industry.
All right, well, our prayers are with you and your family at this time.
Absolutely.
Janelle Monáe. All right, Chris Brown. Bailey Curran is still doing interviews. That's the woman who has accused him of pulling a gun on her at his home. Now, most recently, she did an interview on E! Where she expands some more, basically saying the same things that she's been saying about Chris Brown pulling a gun. And I think she's also feeling the pressure from his fans going in on her. People really just don't believe her whole story.
I think that should be against the law. I don't think that you should be able to go out and do interviews about a criminal case. You should not be able to go out and do interviews about a criminal case when that criminal case is just being open and investigated.
Well, that's actually good for Chris Brown, but I agree with you. You shouldn't be able to talk about a case and just spew negativity, that even though if we don't know if it's true or not. That just seems foul. She should be able to be charged.
She's now saying that she believes that Chris Brown's hand was on the trigger.
Oh, come on.
When he allegedly pointed the gun at her. And again, she's saying that this was after Chris Brown saw her admiring a piece of jewelry. She said, y'all gonna stop playing with me like I'm the villain out here. And she just wants to be very vocal. She says, here is Bailey Curran.
And just said, I am so sick of you people. Took out his gun and said, get the F out. I'm going to blow your head off.
Was his finger on the trigger?
I do believe so. I want people to know the truth. Obviously, he has a lot of support, a lot of fans who's going to back him up. And just think I'm some random girl wanting to be in the limelight, get some fame.
If you could, what would you say to him right now?
I would just tell him he very well knows what he's done, but it's not really fair to make himself out to the victim when I had a gun in my face.
Tommy Buns.
Bitch is lying.
This should be against the law for her to give interviews, because what if this case goes to trial? Jurors could already be swayed by the lies that this chick Bailey Curry is out here telling.
That is true.
And we don't know if she's the victim yet. In my heart, I know she's lying, but the law still has to prove that. So, yes, Chris Brown can act like a victim because he just might be.
Well, now, oddly enough, one of her quote-unquote friends, Christian Bonilla, has done an interview. Now, right when all this happened, he had posted, just want to let you guys know I am okay. I decided to decline all interviews. I do not want any press attention. I believe the situation should have been handled a little differently and that Chris Brown should still have his privacy respected. I was at Chris Brown's home with my circle. We usually do not allow new people in, and this is a perfect example of why we do not let randoms in. Yes, what Chris Brown did was wrong. Yes, I was involved in a very sketchy situation. I do not feel safe talking to anyone about details. I just want to move past this and go on with my life. Well, oddly enough, now he's done an interview with TMZ Live.
Of course.
And here is what he had to say.
There were text messages that she sent you that said, this mother blank is about to go down.
You know, she was just angry about the whole situation. She was hiding under a car.
We know Chris's people are saying that he never pulled a gun and that this was revenge because she got thrown out of the party because she was acting crazy, and that she had actually texted somebody that she was gonna set him up by saying that he tried to shoot her.
I personally don't know what to think.
All right, so he did a whole interview with TMZ Live. Now, Chris Brown has said this on his Instagram page right before he put out a brand new song.
You know, all this bullshit ain't going on, man. I'm going to just turn the other cheek, drop some music.
That's all he can do at this point. And I really still think it's whack that cops made an arrest so fast just based off hearsay. They should have investigated this situation a whole lot more, because everything's starting to look oh so sketchy now. But it's too late, because Chris Brown then got arrested and got to pay had to pay a $250,000 bond.
You're right.
Well, here's Chris Brown's new song that he put out. What would you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
Fighting for your life and no one's on your side. Yeah, baby. What do you do?
Pour me some of that damn scotch, man. What's that stuff called?
John Fittich.
Glenfiddich.
Oh, Glenfiddich.
What's wrong with y'all?
Pour me some of that scotch ASAP Rocky sent.
But if you want to get that song, that's on Chris Brown's Twitter page on his SoundCloud. It's called What Would You Do?
What do you do?
And men.
It says he wrote What Would You Do
and
on
men,
his SoundCloud.
Men got to stop letting their guard down for vagina. You won't let a strange man in your house, but if your boy comes over with some strange chicks, you welcome them with open arms because you're thinking with your little head and not your big one, okay?
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we have actor Michael K. Williams. You might know him from The Wire. You might know him from Night Of, and he'll be joining us when we come back. All right, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Rihanna with Needed Me. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
One of the most underrated actors in the business, I would say.
All right, Mr. Michael K. Williams.
Yo, good morning, good morning, good morning.
So glad you made it up here because we felt like you were ducking us. I'm not going to lie.
Why? Ducking? Do you know I listen? Do you know I take the iHeart app wherever I go? I've listened to you guys, I swear to God, everything I love, in London on the set of Assassin's Creed. Yo, wow. Y'all keep me grounded, man.
Wow.
I listen to all your interviews, man, whenever I can. Wherever, any part of the world where I can get the iHeart app, I listen to it.
Well, thank you for that. So you heard us having the conversation one morning when Justin Bieber said he didn't want to play a gay role.
A gay role, right?
Right.
Boy, I missed that one.
Yeah.
That one
got yeah. I mean, because your name came up a lot in it, because I was like, it didn't hurt Michael K. Williams when he played Omar, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I come from a, you know, it was do or die, you know, Brooklyn. You know, the price is right. I'm going to kiss you. It was like, what? You cutting checks? I'm from a different era. We didn't have social media back then. You had to get it popping.
So you never had any reservations about playing the role?
Man, listen, I have reservations about not eating. You know, I found something in life that I gravitated to that kept my attention, man. I was the kid that was always stepping in huge turds of manure.
Gotcha.
You know, these cuts in my face did not come from, you know, me selling, you know, the newspaper, newspaper route. I was always getting into trouble and just could never get focused in nothing, man. And the arts gave me something to believe in, something I could believe in myself and feel good about myself. So, you know, it was just like I did anything. I had no fear with this. This is something that made me feel good about myself.
And let's keep in mind, that role was an incredible role.
Big role.
It was a very complex role. Like, really, being gay was so secondary to who Omar was in general as far as being, like, the most gangster
exactly
person
how I
on
played
The
it.
Wire.
I played it like, so what? You know, my biggest concern with Omar playing that character was to make sure that people believed when I picked that gun up that I was going to kill you.
Right,
because if you knew me, everybody know that Mike the Cream Puff dude. I'm not that dude. Anybody that grew up with me in Brooklyn, I would jump in the rope with you. You know what I mean? I don't care. You know, I was not the gangster.
Right.
You know, so I wanted to make sure people, when I picked that gun up, I had to believe that I could do that so the audience believed that.
So what was harder to play, the gangster role or the gay role?
For me, it was definitely the gangster role. I had to go somewhere and make myself believe. What could make me believe that I would want to kill somebody? And I had to find that within myself. Omar was, I wasn't acting. I got to go somewhere.
Gotcha.
And it's dark. I locked in with Omar because he was sensitive. He was vulnerable. I didn't play him as the alpha male. I play him like, which made him connect to anybody, connect to him. If you push anybody in the corner, they are going to retaliate. They're going to attack. It's the nature of life. And Omar kind of played him from this sensitive dude, like you can't hurt his feelings.
So you could see yourself with a man, but not see yourself killing somebody.
I could see myself in love, bro.
Gotcha.
I could see myself in love. You know, I don't really, I didn't really get onto the whole, you know, the male-female thing. I looked at it was love, you know what I mean? And I didn't have to walk in high heel shoes, at least not for that one. Shout out to the cast of 999.
You have no problem playing any role.
Nah, man, you know, I've played a few gay characters. You know, I called my agent the other day. I was like, you know what? You know, this question's going to start coming up in a minute. You know, Happy Leonard, Omar. You know, I got this joint coming out, ABC, called When We Rise, which is based on a true story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw. That's the HIV positive.
Yeah, man. I had to lose weight. I lost, like 40 pounds for that role. Shout out to Ken Jones, San Francisco, the people that, you know, Castro.
Now, how do you get that energy out of you? And I mean this with all the roles, because, I mean, you play Omar on The Wire, you played Chalky on White. Boardwalk Empire, those were gangsters. Then you play a lot of gay roles. How do you get rid of all of that energy?
Man, Charlamagne, I'm so glad you asked that because, you know, I had to learn how to wash my psyche, man. This kid, my little brother, man, in Atlanta, 21 years old, we was chilling in Atlanta, I was on a set of Bessie, and the kid was like, he said, man, you look stressed out. Do you meditate? I was like, huh? He said, man, you need to wash your brain, bro. Like, you know, you taking all these characters, and I was like, this kid told me this. I was like, yo, you gotta wash your brain, Mike. Mm. You know, so prayer, I had to get back in the Bible, man, just to get on my knees and just like wash. I had to reconnect with my family, people who matter to me. I'm gonna be 50 years old in November, so I reconnected with my kids. You know, my eldest son, you know, he had some issues, some situations. I had to, like, you know, family came first, and that kind of balances me out with these dark characters that I play, you know. And then, you know, you look at where my career has brought me, where I'm portraying like a character like Freddie. That's my nephew, Dominic DuPont. That's based on my real life. Jimmy Roseman, my big brother, who these characters now, the Night of, you know, Black Market, these are stories that the universe is sending me to portray. And it's like they have impacted my life, my personal life, from one point or another, whether me or someone who I love. So I can't run from this no more.
Gotcha.
You know?
Well, how is your family life and your personal life? Because you play those roles, you live those roles, and you got to be a different person.
You know, I'm a work in progress. I will say that much. I just strive to be better than the dude I was yesterday.
Right.
And I don't try to put too much expectations on myself because I'm...
How does your family look at you? Do they
I'm still in the club. Nobody's angel. I'm still in the club, man. So I just take it one day at a time.
And you got to get a lot of... Especially if you're playing gay roles. Just to make sure.
I'm not gonna lie. One night I was out with my friends right when The Wire was on, and my girl was like, oh, there go Omar from The Wire. And I was like, okay. And then my other friend was like, you know, he's gay though. And I'm like, no, that's just a character that he plays on the show. That's not him in real life. And people sometimes do get that, especially just when that was only what people knew you from initially. You know,
I'm going to keep it 100 with you, right? You know, this last job I did out there in San Francisco, man, When We Rise, it made me look at a lot of things in my life that had happened to me. You know, I'm a survivor of molestation, and we're going to leave it at that. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, I did question myself, and we're going to leave that at that, you know, but where I've been is really nobody's business, and what I do in my bedroom or have done in my bedroom, I'm not at liberty to talk about that, really, but I will say this much. I definitely had to look at some things in my life and some questions I had in my life that got aroused in me playing my characters, you know? So I'm there with it right now, you know what I mean?
I like hearing you say that, too, because there's a lot of kids that are still trying to figure out, you know, their sexuality because of situations like that.
And themselves,
And they end up killing themselves because they're young, but you old and you still dealing with it. And I like the fact you say you're still a work in progress. Like,
yes, sir.
You're just trying to figure it out.
Man, yeah, I'm gonna stay young at heart, man. Big Jose, you know, young forever, bro. I want to be wise.
Hard up,
I definitely want to get wiser, you know. But I'm gonna stay young at heart forever, man. I love youth.
All right, when we come back, we have more with Michael K. Williams. We'll talk about his new show, Night of, and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Kent Jones with Don't Mind. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have actor Michael K. Williams in the building. Now, Yee?
I was watching Black Market, and I saw you in Newark and going to the church that you say actually kind of helped save you.
Yes,
I was surprised to hear some things on there. Like, you know, people picture you, you're on TV, and they automatically think, oh, he's got money, he's doing well, he's on TV. But you said things weren't so great for you.
No. The Wire... I lived in the projects in Vanderveer until the second season of The Wire, where I got evicted because I was on drugs. You know, at that point in my life, I'm on a TV show. I'm literally, I'm homeless, you know. Damn. I mean, when I say homeless, you know, shout out to Mom Dukes and my family that was out of state. You know, it was either that, my mother's couch, or sleeping on my kids' bedroom floor on Staten Island. the only place where I could really be myself, because I had some issues I was working through. I was partying. Mm-hmm. And the only place I can do that and be safe was with these dudes, my brothers, you know, out there in Isabella or in Newark, New Jersey, man. Shout out to the Hill family. Those brothers took me in, you know. And I had people who loved me who could took me in, but I really want to go back and live in the projects, you know.
And this is why you on HBO every week?
I was on HBO. I was hungry, man. I made a lot of bad decisions early on in my career. And it's the grace of God that, you know, you only had no damn TMZ or me out there, you know?
Right.
Because I don't think them cameras was coming to the parts where I was at. They wasn't rolling over there.
What kind of drugs were they selling in the 90s that you had so many functioning drug addicts that could win?
Even in the 90s,
yeah, early 2000s. DMX made $33 million. You on the wire.
I'm a dinosaur, man. There's very little I haven't done.
Yeah.
I got dinosaur blood in me. But my downfall, you know, I'll keep it real, honey. It was coke at one point. You know, yeah, I did smoke it. It was the 80s, you know what I'm saying? The 80s and the 90s. We didn't have examples of crackheads. It was shown to me as being something sexy. You know, dudes and women on the dance floor with leather and suede and fox with, you know, hitting their personal pipe on the dance floor, throwing their hands up. I thought that was sexy. You know, right. I was in them places way too young,
yeah.
You know, and I saw way too much, way too early. And, you know, I got a little turned out, but, you know, it's in the grace of God. I'm here today to talk about it.
How do you
it.
Play those characters? Because you play some of those characters, even in the Night Of. You know, you're using drugs in Night Of. Does that bother you when you have to play those characters? Is that a character's like, nah, I don't want to do that? Or are you just like, I'm acting?
Once I believe the world is real, I mean, you got to do it. You got to commit to it or don't do the job. Mm-hmm. You know, but Freddie was definitely, yeah, that beat me up.
And let's talk about
Does it make you want to relapse?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. In a word. Yeah, to keep it 100.
Because you were cooking it up. You were putting it together.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing.
I don't play with that. You know, it's real. You know, those feelings when I committed murder in a character, those emotions are real, bro. If it looks real to you, it's because it felt real to me.
Right.
You know, and you got to, like you said, what do you do with those feelings, those emotions? Those things create energy. They have to go somewhere, and you can't keep them in you. It'll cross you up.
Yeah, but you can't go around killing people. You might get to have sex with a man. You might get to do some coke, but you can't kill people, Michael.
That is not cool. You know what I'm saying?
Did it ever affect you getting to work on time and taking care of your responsibilities?
A time or two, you know. But I would like to say that I have a pretty good track record in my 20-some-odd years in this business. Mm-hmm. I'm known for being on time, doing the work, and being respectful.
All right, let's talk Night Of.
Let's talk Night Of.
Yes, like, I know you got some questions.
First thing I said was I was disappointed in the finale.
Let me ask you a question. Why did you think that? What made you think it was weak? And what did you want to see?
For everybody who hasn't seen it, there's a female that dies, and there's a guy in there that they're trying to say that killed it, and it's a hung jury, so he gets off.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was I want to know who killed the young lady, because we never find out who killed the young lady.
It could have been him.
But you find out in season two, right?
There's no season two.
There's technically no season two, okay. But that is true. And to your point, you are correct. There was a murder that went unsolved.
Right.
But what the writers, I think, in my mind, what the writers were trying to show you was we got to watch a whole nother crime happen while we're waiting to see what happened in the initial crime, which was how Nasir got treated in the judicial system. That was a crime that we watched happen right in front of our eyes. We didn't have to wonder who did that. You know, our system failed that young man. That man was innocent until proven poor. Mm. Because had he had the money to get the powerful lawyers, the right lawyers, it is my belief, what I've seen in past situations in this country, that situation would have probably been handled differently had he had the proper lawyers. He went in there as a Muslim with no money and having been accused of killing a Upper West Side white girl.
Done.
Right. Yeah, basically.
He had no record.
None.
Was a good college kid.
They had him as a flight risk. The dude had no passport.
Right.
Where's he going?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Tupac discovered you, right?
Pac found me with a Polaroid, you know, in New York shooting a movie called Bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Mickey Rourke, he was looking for a role to play the little brother.
Right.
And Pac saw a Polaroid picture of me. I'll never forget this Polaroid. It was, you know, back in the days you go to an audition, they put you on the wall and Polaroid
right,
you.
Right.
I had a purple sweatshirt on with the word gravy. My black butt with a purple sweatshirt. Okay. I don't know how this dude saw me. Like an eggplant.
And some gravy on it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So the dude saw me, but he clocked the scar and was like, yo, who is this dude? And he said, yo, find this dude. And in his words, he told me on the set, he told me in the limousine scene, he says, I saw your picture and I saw the scar. And he said, this dude looks thugged out enough to play my little brother. And he also went back and told the writer, because you remember he had the Slick Rick eye patch on?
Right.
He did that because, like, he said, yo, we both was bald headed. You got the scar. I got the one eye. We brothers. We look crazy, right? I was like, yeah, Pac, we look crazy. we crazy.
That was your man? Y'all was close?
No, man, I was in awe of that brother. I said very little around him. I used to shake around him, man. I was older than him. All I wanted to do with this dude, honestly, was just smoke a blunt with him. Mm-hmm. Really, I wanted to just be able to say I smoked a blunt with Pac, right? So I said, I got it. I'm going to come to work tomorrow with the weed, but no blunt. And then I'm going to knock on his door and be like, ah. And I swear to you, remember that scene in How High? This is before the movie was out. Yeah, I created this. That stuff really happens.
Right,
I said,
right.
So I was like, okay, so I knocked, I had my weed. I knocked on his trailer, and he was in there. He was in a conversation talking to Stretch. God bless the dead. Stretch was in the trailer talking, and you could hear it was a very passionate conversation. I was like, what? I said, hey, Pac, you got an extra blunt? Nah. Bam, close the door. And he went back to his conversation. I was like,
damn. So you never got to smoke a blunt with him?
No, in a word, no, damn. I never got to smoke a blunt with him. But you know what, though? In his defense, he taught me. I learned so much watching him work on the set. I learned how to conduct myself on the set. He was the first person I ever heard that say he doesn't come to the set and get in character. Come prepared. When I come on the set, Tupac is back in my trailer. I'm the character now.
That's real.
I learned that from him. I learned how to speak up.
I admire anybody who met Pac, though, because Pac seemed like such a mythological figure.
Right. All right, well, we have more with Michael K. Williams when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
See, I'm just going to keep it G with you, baby.
That was The Dream. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Michael K. Williams in the building now. Charlamagne?
How do you feel about the stand Colin Kaepernick took? By not standing for the flag because of all the social injustice that's going on.
Oh, you know, I respect him. I got to respect all the athletes because, you know, for years we were told to be good boys, good boys and girls, and don't smoke, don't drink, and don't say nothing. Don't you dare open your mouth. Just smile and nod for the camera. Yeah. Be happy to be here. And, you know, I respect these athletes today who are speaking up. But, you know, like Spike Lee put on his Instagram, it's been going down, like in the Olympics who rolls their hand.
Yeah.
You know, so... I mean, that's his constitutional right.
Absolutely.
I respect him for shining light on what he sees is a problem as a biracial adopted child who had a privileged life.
Mm-hmm.
I respect him for taking the time out, for using his platform, his 5 minutes to shed light on something that matters to him, because this is the time that we find ourselves in. A view that I have on, for instance, the Black Lives Matter situation, right? The movement, excuse me. Obviously, it is not cool for white cops to constantly over and over again on tape kill unarmed black people. Okay, we know that. I mean, straight up and down, that's, and then get away with it. That's messed up. It is also messed up that Chicago, we are in August, and they are at 450 some odd murders, all black, all by the hands of other blacks.
I think they had, what, 80 last month, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can't march for one and not march for the other. So when you tell me that Black Lives Matter, what do you really say? What are we really saying here? We only march when someone else kills our children? What happens when you kill my son? There's a pain in the community. Our kids are in pain. You know, I watched The Get Down. And
I loved it.
Oh, my God. That young man, that monologue, whoever wrote that speech for that brother, man, bravos. He said, our young people are not the problem. We're the solution.
When he spoke at the Bronx. Yeah.
Powerful words. I mean, I got goosebumps right now because that's where I'm at with it. I don't like it when the white cop kills him. I don't like it when Raheem from Apartment 6F killed him.
That's real.
I don't want my kids bleeding on the street, bro. Stop it. It's disgusting. So I'm coming at it from a different,
right.
In my mind, it's a different perspective, a broader perspective. And, you know, I'm not trying to offend nobody, but it sickens me.
People act like we can't walk and chew gum at the same time. You can go out there and protest against police brutality and go out there and stop our people from killing each other.
Absolutely.
Like, it's perfect. We can do that.
Yes,
we have the resources.
Because at this rate, we're going to lose. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to lose. And let me go on the record, you know. I love my kids. I'm an avid sponsor of the Village concept. I come from that, man. I love my kids. I love your kids. I love your kids. You know, I want you to love my kids. I push my kids on everybody. My friends know, got my kids got all my friends' number. Almost every friend in my book, famous or non-famous, either auntie this or uncle that. Because I want you to raise my kids and discipline them. You see them out there wilding or acting out of conduct.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm the same way. I mean, I have friends that can pick up my kids from school and take them to their games
and
different places because it should be. Like you said, it has to be a village that raise a bunch of kids, especially for us who are entertainers that are traveling and working, and they need that father figure. And sometimes they might need the smack of the back of the head and say, fix up. Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
What happened to the old Dirty Bastard movie?
I don't think that's going to happen anymore for a number of reasons. I think it was we got to the in the 11th hour. We were almost at the finish line. I think something happened with his wife and the rights and the producers.
Mm.
Even if that did turn around and start heading back in my direction, how old was ODB when he passed, when he left us?
You older than him.
Way older than
him.
You see where I'm going with this, right? You see this is not makeup. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, come on. I think there's a younger brother who could do it justice and bring him to life. I'm moving on, man. I got my eye on Miles Davis right now.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Now, people are going to kill me if I don't ask, how did you get this scar?
Oh, I was in a bar in Jamaica, Queens on my 25th birthday, and I got really drunk, and I entertained a conversation that I would have normally ignored had I been sober, and I got jumped.
Mm.
The crap beat out of me, and that's literally what happened to the dude. How I got cut in my face, dude spit a razor. He kept saying, what? What? You know, in hindsight, what he was doing was he was getting that razor ready.
Mm.
And I was like, dude, and I remember my last words to him was, Junior, we all black, man. Well, why we got to be like this, man? We're supposed to be all brothers. Why you in my face like this, bro? Woof. My thought was, that's all you got? Are you trying to smack dudes now? And I went in. He kept cutting. My friend who dragged me out, he got cut too. He was the first one to tell me my face was cut. He's like, yo, Mike, you're going to be all right, though. And I was like, what? I said, you still got a little touch in your face, but I thought I was sweating.
Mm.
And I went like this. I was like, oh, word? So I went back to fight more, right? Because I lost my mind.
Right.
I lost my mind. But I saw my friend was barely standing. He had lost so much blood, so I thought he was going to die there. And so I said, so we got in the car, and thank God we drove to the hospital, and the rest is history.
Man, you need to be working on your biopic. Talk about old Dirty Miles Davis. God bless him, but damn.
Yeah. Man, well, we appreciate you joining us and the stories today. Amazing.
Are you still a great dancer?
I still boogie. You know, I'm a househead, you know. Yeah, I'm a househead. While y'all was in the tunnel, I was down the block at the Sound Factory. You know what I mean?
You need a role that incorporates some dancing or something.
I would love that, man.
How you playing that? See, that's the problem. You playing all these gay roles and ain't did a dance role.
What the hell
you doing, man?
All they got me doing is kissing dudes and busting guns, man. I got to do something. I can dance. I can dance. You know what I'm saying, Sean?
Was it for Madonna? Did you dance for Madonna?
I didn't dance for her. I was in the video, though, Secrets. By the time I did the Madonna video, I was like, I was the dude with the scar. They thought I was a model. I danced for...
Thought you were Seal.
Yeah, I ran with that, though. Because Seal gave me... No, I said, these are tribal markings. I'm from that same tribe as Seal. I'm dead serious, bro. I had to say that because I didn't want to go tell that long story.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, man. Thank y'all for having me, man. Keep doing what y'all do, man.
Thank you, brother.
Real talk. I love y'all, bro.
All right. It's Michael K. Williams. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Charlamagne, you can't listen to this part.
You know, okay, I'm a Pinky Smith Winfrey Knows Carter, so watch your mouth. What you about to say?
Oprah. I'm just going to quote some things she said, but I don't know if you want to hear this. Unless you want to hear your mom talking about her sex life. Mm. All right.
Oprah has sex?
Oprah was talking to People magazine, and she talked about recently losing all the weight that she lost. You know, she works with Weight Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it has affected her bedroom action with Stedman. She said, I would like him to pick me up and carry me to the pool. I've lost enough weight. He can pick me up and carry me to the pool. I can straddle him without breaking his back.
Wow.
Okay, Oprah.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Oprah.
Oh, freak.
Ready, girl.
You know my last name is Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knows Carter. Mama gotta have a life, too. But you talking about losing weight. Stedman got to lose some years. That's something y'all should have did 20 years ago. Stedman about 75
years old. Don't you hate. Don't hate.
She straddled that man. Okay, oh, freak.
You can't be asking a 75-year-old man to pick you up, you know, at any given time.
Okay.
My knees back.
Now, just recently, she also spoke to Entertainment Weekly, and she talked about the sex scenes in Queen Sugar. And by the way, that's going to premiere September 6th and 7th on OWN. And she said, I'm going to get Stedman to unhook my bra and see what happens.
Wow.
Put your hand in my pantyhose.
Whoa.
And let's see what happens.
Oh, she ain't say all that. My mama ain't say all that. I don't know why you putting words in my mama's mouth. Mama Oprah did not say that.
Wow.
Why you putting words in my mama's mouth?
Well, I guess there's a lot of things that go in there.
She ain't say that.
Shout out to Oprah, man, just for being open and out there. She has some sex scenes in her new show, so we got to keep it real in real life, too.
Mama got to have a life,
sex,
too.
Okay?
And the fact that Stedman has never spoke about their sex life, and it's been a century, drop one of Clues Bomb for Stedman, damn it, because I can't name too many men that would have had sex with Oprah and not told everybody.
All right. I didn't know people still wear pantyhose really like that. Mary J. Blige is going to be on a new show. Well, not a new show, but she has a new role on How to Get Away with Murder. Now, that show returns September 22nd, of course, on ABC Shonda Rhimes show. So she'll be on that. I don't know exactly what she's doing on there, but she's on season 3. She's also going to be starring in the World War II-based dramatic film Mudbound. All right, so shout out to Mary.
That was good for the MJB. Salute to Mary J. Blige.
Mm-hmm. You know, she just filed for divorce recently after being married for 12 years. I guess she's keeping super busy, as she should.
The legend Mary J. Blige.
All right, Chris Brown, we already told you he put out some new music, so we want to make sure we get that for you. Now, he was on his Instagram. When things are going wrong in life, what's the best thing for you to do as an artist? Release some of your art. Well, here is his new song that he put out on his Twitter page. It's called What Would You Do?
What do you do? Fighting for your life and no one's on your side. Yeah, baby. I can't stand to lose you. See, you're in too deep and don't know where to hide. What do you do?
He should call it What Do You Do instead of What Would You Do.
I thought it was called What Do You Do.
He says it twice, What Would You Do. All right, well, the woman, Bailey Curran, we all know her now for being the person who got Chris Brown arrested and claiming that he pulled a gun on her. They have all kinds of other stories about her now. One of her former roommates says that she has a history of making up stories about people threatening to kill her. According to Princeton Roseboro, he said that Bailey Curran filed a restraining order saying that he tried to hire a hitman to take her out and that he physically hurt her by pushing her head against a bedroom wall hard enough to call an ambulance. Now, the judge did give her a temporary restraining order, but when it came time to go to court for the formal hearing, she did not show up. So that restraining order was lifted. According to her old roommate, Princeton, he's saying that Bailey was about to physically attack his girlfriend. All he did was restrain her. He never pushed her. And he even submitted photos after the incident, which showed no signs of injury. So the case was dismissed.
I love it, man. Do it. Keep giving us all the dirt on this young lady. Keep throwing her stuff out there. Do her the way that they do black men when they get in trouble.
She does seem like a very troubled individual.
Seems like. No, she is.
She is. She
is a very troubled individual.
And that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
We giving that donkey too.
Donkey today is going to a young lady named Kellyanne Conway. That's Donald Trump's campaign manager. I need her to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with her. And we need to pray for white women this week, man. Mm-hmm. It's been a very, very bad week for white women.
Amen.
Between Britney Spears' performance at the VMAs, mm-hmm. Tommy Loren and her dumb comments, mm-hmm. Bailey Curran, and now Kellyanne Conway. I do not know what's going on. We need some better white woman representation out here in these streets right now.
Okay.
Y'all had a bad week.
We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey? Yee-haw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, September 1st. Goes to Donald Trump's new campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway. By the way, this has been one of the worst weeks for white women I can remember in a long time. I mean, Mercury is in retrograde, but damn. Third day in a row, a white woman is getting donkey today. It was Tommy Loren, mm-hmm. Bailey Curran. I got to throw in Britney Spears' terrible performance at the VMAs. Mm-hmm. And now Kellyanne Conway? Now, the thing about politics, not even just politics, the thing about this era we live in is nothing ever dies. Nothing ever truly goes away. Anything you did in the past can and will come back to haunt you. Now, Kellyanne Conway is not exempt from this rule, especially being Donald Trump's new campaign manager. Now, you are the campaign manager for someone who has offended everybody from Mexicans to Muslims to African Americans to women, a man who has one of the most unpatriotic slogans ever, which is Make America Great Again. That slogan is basically saying that you're not proud of the current system of things in America and that America as we know it right now is not great. But I don't see anyone telling Donald and whoever embraces this slogan to leave America if you don't think it's great. They've been telling Colin Kaepernick to leave America all week for expressing the same sentiment that America as we know it in its current state isn't great for everyone. But when Colin Kaepernick says it, he's unpatriotic and should leave if he doesn't like it. But for Donald and his supporters, it's perfectly fine. Now, you would think Donald Trump would hire a campaign manager. Matter of fact, this is his third one, by the way. His third one. You would think he would hire a campaign manager who isn't as inflammatory as him with their remarks, but nope. During a PBS panel discussion in 2013, these words have come back to haunt Kellyanne Conway. She made these comments about women getting raped.
She couldn't keep up with the physical endurance. Now, if you're suggesting that physical fitness experts say it's different, I'll accept that, Bonnie, except to say that we should not have the girls' version and the boys' version of that physical fitness test. I want the best prepared military, regardless of gender. But I'll tell you, if physical fitness, if we were physiologically, not mentally, emotionally, professionally equal to men, if we were physiologically as strong as men, rape would not exist. You would be able to defend yourself and fight him off. And
also, well, I don't know why we need to go to that comparison.
Okay. I would first like to say that Kellyanne Conway is right. If women were as strong as men, they could fight off rapes. I also would like to say that if kids were as strong as adults, they could fight off pedophiles. Also, if I got bit by a radioactive spider, I could climb walls like Spider-Man. If I had the same healing powers as Wolverine, I would never have to buy a Band-Aid. If I got caught in a blast of gamma radiation, nobody would want to make me angry because you wouldn't like me when I'm angry because I would turn into a big green diesel-ass monster. The point I'm trying to make, Kellyanne Conway, is what the hell are you talking about and why are you talking about it? When I'm discussing real problems like rape, I would like to discuss real solutions, okay? Not blame rape victims because they aren't physically as strong as their attackers. Like, I know you got raped, but it's your fault. This wouldn't happen to you if you could bench 250 and squat 315 pounds like a man. Okay? Mm. Play Kellyanne Conway one more time. I just play it again. Play.
She couldn't keep up with the physical endurance. Now, if you're suggesting that physical fitness experts say it's different, I'll accept that, Bonnie, except to say that we should not have the girls' version and the boys' version of that physical fitness test. I want the best prepared military, regardless of gender. But I'll tell you, if physical fitness, if we were physiologically, not mentally, emotionally, professionally equal to men, if we were physiologically as strong as men, rape would not exist. You would be able to defend yourself and fight him off. And
also, well, I don't know why we need to go to that comparison.
I love it to end when the woman says, I don't know why we need to go to that comparison. Because I love when someone says in the moment exactly what I'm thinking. What did that fantasy ask, not the reality of the situation? Damn, Kelly Conway must have been high as hell to have said that dumbass remark have to do with anything. Hey, ladies, you know what else? You wouldn't have to sit when you pee if you had a penis, okay? Kellyanne Conway on TV making statements that people sit at home and think when they're high. And then after they think them, they realize to themselves how dumb it sounded, and then they say out loud, man, I'm high as hell. And did you catch that stutter? Play it up to the stutter. Play.
If physical fitness, if we were physiologically, not mentally, emotionally, professionally equal to men, if we were physiologically...
See, right there is when you're supposed to stop yourself, okay? If you don't have a stutter and you're trying to say something but you find yourself stuttering, that's God giving you a chance to think about it, okay? But she didn't listen to herself. She just kept speeding over the speed bump and ran right into a brick wall.
She had an out.
Please give Kellyanne Conway the biggest hee-haw.
All right.
And salute to all my white women out there. I know Mercury is in retrograde, but damn, y'all really have been having a bad week, okay? We need some better white women representation going forward. Okay, to make up for this week that y'all had. And okay. I know why the frustration is setting in, because Labor Day is coming up, and you know the rules. You can't have sex with any white women after Labor Day. It's in the Constitution. I didn't make this up.
Okay.
It's in the Constitution.
Definitely. What Constitution?
It's in the one that Ryan Lochte and Bailey Curry wrote. That's okay. It's in that one. Right. Yes.
That might be.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day. Now, when we come back, ask Ye if you need relationship advice or any type of advice. 800-585-1051. Call Ye right now. She'll help you out with all your problems, put you live on the air, and help you. All right? 800-585-1051. Call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Drake Riri with Too Good. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. Hello.
My name is Monique. So I'm from South Carolina. I just got stationed back at Fort Jackson, and I'm dating this new guy, and I want to introduce him to my parents.
Okay.
Just the only thing is that he's white, and my parents do make a lot of comments about mixed race, especially my mom, about especially like if a black man is with a white woman. But I really care a lot about him, and we have some of the same goals. He's in the Army, I'm Navy, and...
Okay.
My daughter loves him a lot, though.
Oh, wow. So he already met your daughter. So this is official. It's not no new... I don't know where this is going. This is your man.
Yes, yes. And he makes me very happy. Like, this is the first man that he respects my wishes because I am celibate, and he respects, you know, all that.
Well, that's
Shut
good.
Up, Charlamagne.
Because you can't have sex
Shut
with white
up.
People after Labor Day, so that's good.
Now, have you told your parents? Did you give them a heads up? Hey, I have a boyfriend.
I haven't told them anything. Like, when I say... Well, me and Zaria are going out, or, you know, me and my daughter are going this place or that place. We end up with him, but...
I want to ask you something, because there's a difference, okay? Because, you know, my dad is Chinese, my mom is black. Obviously, everybody makes a lot of little jokes all the time. Even in my family, they're sometimes inappropriate, but you know how family is. Now, are they jokey about it, or are they dead serious, like, we don't like white people?
No, they're not like that either, because my family is so mixed. Like, I have a lot of cousins and different things that are mixed race. They just don't end up staying with the... other spouses.
I think this is what you need to do. Give them a heads up, right? Say, hey, mom, dad, I want you guys to meet my boyfriend. We're very serious, you know. Your grandchild loves him, but please don't make him feel awkward. Y'all can make him feel awkward later once he knows you a little bit better and you're joking around. But him coming here for the first time, please, you know, it's important to me, and just let them know that. Because as long as they don't maliciously not, you know, have an issue, and like you said, there's a lot of mixed things happening in your family, I think it should be fine. But, you know, people understand sometimes, too, that families have jokes.
Right.
So hopefully, as long as he's in on the joke and not being made fun of, he should be okay with it, because I think... people understand that. People understand family. People understand jokes. People understand the situation could be humorous and awkward sometimes at the same time, and y'all are going to have to deal with it. So as long as it's not anything that is mean-spirited.
Right. Okay.
And that's great, because listen, I'm happy for you that you found somebody that loves you and respects you and that your child loves also.
Yes, I'm very happy.
All right.
You better buy him a Black Lives Matter t-shirt and teach him how to make a good mac and cheese dish.
And listen, and as long as you warn your parents, also warn him. Be like, look, I'm bringing you home. You're white. It's going to be a little bit, you know, funny sometimes, but just roll with it.
Yeah, he has a little flavor, though. He's from Louisiana.
Okay. All right, cool.
He got a little flavor.
Wait till you go to his house.
That just means he can quote 21 Savage every now and then. That's all.
All right.
He know Isaiah Rashad album come out tomorrow. Yeah.
Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. You want to holler at Yee, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Tory Lanez with Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
This is Darren Yee.
Yes.
I've been with my girl for about on and off for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before, when we were there, before we broke up the first time, she was like real affectionate, real, you know, lovey-dovey and things of that nature. And we got back together, and she went through some things, and... when we broke up the first time, I lied. I lied, and I went in the second part of the relationship to go in with her and do the right thing. Now I done been amazing. Like I done moved mountains. I done dropped planets. I done gave to the moon. Yes, I've been amazing. Like the most amazing man you could think of. Do it all. I bring home the bacon. I take the bacon. I pay everything. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm just saying why. Is it that now she's not affectionate that she was like she was before? Or is it wrong for me to expect affection from her in the same manner that I give it to her? She's not that anymore.
Okay, but she is somewhat affectionate. She's just not how she used to be.
She's somewhat affectionate, but she's not how... Yeah, exactly. She's so not, well, to an extent, like, not even, like, really affectionate. It's more like, you are affectionate. I don't know. She's kind of affectionate. She's affectionate, but just...
It's not the way it used to be, and you need more attention.
I need more intimacy. You know, I need that third...
Like, what is it? Do you want to be holding hands? Do you want to be just kissing and hugging and cuddling? Or is it more than that? Is it sex?
Fellatio.
Nah, yeah, well, it's fellatio, Charlamagne. Yes, you're damn right, fellatio.
Okay, I consider fellatio showing affection. You're basically saying in the bedroom, it's not like what it used to be. You're not just talking about showing affection.
Actually, it's more than what it used to be in the bedroom, but
okay.
I just need that intimacy. I want her to open up to me more. Like,
but
I want
she
her to
feels
talk
like
about
you
everything.
Feel like her guard is up because of things that you've done.
Exactly. Like, emotionally, I feel like she's not... you know, connecting with me on an intimate level.
How long has it been since y'all got back together after doing some things?
It's been like a year and a half.
But has it improved during that time? Like, it started off a little shaky and it's been getting better and better?
Actually, it has improved. We do more things. I can tell, like, she's doing actions, but I don't know. I just feel like we're missing that communication stamp with each other, and I don't know how to open that.
Okay, well,
up.
It looks to me like you done messed up, right? And now she has her guard up just a little bit, but it takes time to knock that wall back down because it takes one incident for a girl to put her guard up, and then sometimes it takes a lot more than that for you to work past the mistakes that you've made, right? Now you are doing the right thing by constantly being loving, constantly being affectionate, and showing her all the time that you really care and that you're not going to mess up again.
True. I treat her like a queen.
Right.
Like,
as you are supposed to, because that's your woman, and you're very happy to have her back. So, but I think it's just a work in progress. That always happens. First of all, it's great that you managed to even get her trust back at all, but it takes sometimes years to build it back to what it used to be. At least she's making the effort. At least things are constantly improving, and you should be happy about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things are getting better. They're not getting worse, right?
No, they're not getting worse.
Okay, so what you need to do, sir, is never mess up again, okay, the way that you did before. Keep doing the things that you're doing to show her that you're affectionate. And sometimes there's little things that you can do, like, you know, maybe y'all want to take a class and learn how to give massages together. That's always a good thing to do. So that's something that you could do for her and then she could do for you. It kind of forces you to be more intimate, but it also is you learning something and doing something together.
Okay.
You know. And set up some really nice romantic things for you guys to do together at home, or even get a hotel for the weekend. Just things that y'all can do together that you set up, that you plan. Women really love when guys plan things more than just buying me things and taking me places. Plan something. Plan something really special. And just keep on showing her how special she is.
And Yee, do you have, like, any advice for her? Like, I know I got to gain her trust, and I know I got to continue doing what I'm doing, but is there anything, like, can she give a little more and show that she knows that it's this and this is going in the right direction?
I think the main thing for you guys is to always keep the lines of communications open, and you should always check in with her. Ask her. Be like, hey, I just want to make sure everything's going well. If there's anything you need me to be doing that I'm not doing, please let me know, because I want to make sure you understand how much you mean to me. Those are things that you need to communicate. And actions are great, like showing your actions. But if there's anything she wants to get off her chest, just let her know that it's open for her to talk to you all the time. She can tell you anything. And she can ask you anything.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for being a good man. See, and sometimes just because a guy messes up or because a woman messes up doesn't mean a relationship is over if he can work through it and you can work through it.
The moral of the story is give your man fellatio. Okay? Hug me with your jaw, ma. Hug me with your jaw, ma.
He said everything's great in the bedroom.
Tell your tongue, follow my penis on Twitter, ma. Put a crease in your cheeks with my meat, ma.
The real moral of the story is when you mess up, you got to pay the consequences.
Massage my manhood with your mouth, ma.
Ask ye 800-585-1051. We got rumors coming up, ye.
Yes, we are going to talk about an incredible breakthrough. Find out who used to have diabetes and is no longer diabetic. Also, Cat Williams, what is this that's being claimed in a new lawsuit? Somebody said that he kidnapped her and then had a gang-style attack on her.
Okay. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Ray J is, of course, defending Chris Brown. Now, we all saw the Instagram post that he put up because he was at Chris Brown's house when everything happened. Well, now he is saying, Chris is my homie, and I just can't let people have this pile of negativity going on with his name. And he said, we were creating, we were getting tattoos, we were talking about my new project, we were talking about so many different positive things in the tech community that we can do together for the community. So it just hurts my feelings when things get derailed with stuff like that. So that's it. He said, listen, I can't say what's truthful or not because I have never seen that happen and I was right there, so I don't want to comment. So basically he was saying what Bailey Curran is saying. He doesn't want to comment on it, but he didn't see any of those things take place.
Well, Tommy Buns can comment on Bailey Curran. Bailey Curran, we all know exactly what is going on with Bailey Curran, okay? We know exactly what it is.
Now, Ray J went on to say, he said, it hurts my feelings. You work so hard to try to get better, and a small little lint of a story that you don't even know is even real or not can affect you this much without even getting the facts.
And drop on the clues bombs for my guy, Ray J. I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday saying that Ray J is responsible for basically saving the Breakfast Club when he called in the rant. And I want to tell that person on Twitter, you're absolutely right. All right?
He helped us so much.
Shout out to Ray J.
Shout out to my guy, Ray J, damn it.
During that time. Okay, now Drake and Rihanna fans went a little bit crazy when they saw this drakeandrihanna.com website. There was a countdown clock. They were saying they were doing a collabo together. Well, it turns out that whole thing was just a hoax by Joanne the Scammer. Here's what she said.
I am very pissed off. You acted like you were not at the VMAs only to surprise everyone and give Rihanna an award. Did you know I was there? I was there in my Kris Jenner wig. I've waited so long to take a f***ing selfie with you. You weren't there to take it. But you come out for Rihanna, I'm prettier and more iconic. So f*** you, and our relationship is over.
Wait, so Joanne, I'm confused, never mind.
You don't know who Joanne is?
You don't know Joanne the Scammer?
Well, this is what you need to do. You need to go to Breakfast Club videos and look at the damn hair advertisements they put on all the videos. And the man that's on there with the wig on, looking like a woman, that's who that is, okay?
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay?
I didn't know that.
Hair videos on every freaking Breakfast Club interview. Yes.
All right, and congratulations to Rob Kardashian. Okay, he is no longer diabetic. He is in remission. His doctors have told him he doesn't have to take that medication for his type 2 diabetes anymore. He was hospitalized last December for diabetes. They said he could be in a coma if he didn't maintain a healthy lifestyle. Well, he's been eating healthier, exercising regularly, and that's it. Good for him in remission. They said that his diabetes could come back if he, however, doesn't keep up with his changes.
And this is exactly why when I say the things I say and y'all think I'm fat shaming, these are the results when you actually do go to the gym and lose some weight. Your health gets better. Mm-hmm. That's all I be trying to tell y'all fat asses.
All right, and Cat Williams has led a allegedly vicious gang-style attack on a comedian. Now, according to Ashima Franklin, she says that he hit her in the face back in 2012. And then again, he did a two-day terror campaign this year while they were on tour together. He bragged about having million-dollar bitches, then turned his rage on her, saying, why am I sitting here with this hillbilly, Alabama, backwards-ass, $3 vagina B? The next day, she said that he and two women attacked her and left her with a swollen face and injuries to her chest, arms, and legs. She's suing for $3 million. I don't understand why, if he hit her before, she would go on tour with him. I would never be around somebody like that. She said in another incident, he threw piping hot food at her face and asked her why she thought she had the right to eat.
So maybe she feel like she didn't deserve better at first.
I don't know.
And then after a couple hits to the head, you're like, you know what? I can do better than
this. She might have needed the money. She probably was broke and needed the money.
And she probably felt like this was her big break. I'm on tour with Cat Williams.
All right.
Let me just take this L.
I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, up next is the People's Choice Mix. You want to hear something, 800-585-1051. Whatever you want to hear, hit us up right now. We absolutely positively got you. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter, and I'll get your request in right now, right? And here's Riri. Drake is work. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.